in the middle of the night, and I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be all right. Lord, I see another battle, and it's right in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. Just where I brought you from. Take a look behind you at just how far you've come. And every time that you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Says my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days ain't that long. She hears a voice so still and low, it said, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind. And I gave you peace. Didn't I run to rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall.
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Says my bills are coming due, Lord, 6 days ain't that long. She hears a voice so still and low, it said, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more.
Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it rushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you. so you would fall.
Didn't I leave all of heaven
just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again.
Didn't I leave all of heaven
just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you,
and I'll do it all
Man, so glad to see y'all this morning. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We open up this service, and I love it. We open it up with prayer. We open it up with praise and worship. And that's it. God is so worthy of all that we can do, and doesn't even touch the glory, the magnitude of our Lord. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raise. You know, just to let y'all know those needs. What about all those testimonies of praise? What about all the things God's carried us through? That's the same God, isn't it, that we're praying to right now. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise you. Lord, we want to worship you. And Lord, give you all the honor and glory, dear Lord, that we possibly can. Lord, we humbly come to you this morning, dear Lord, with our hearts open, dear Lord, our hearts full of your love. But dear Lord, we ask now, dear Lord, for each and every prayer request, dear Lord, that you know of, dear Lord, we ask you to touch them. Lord, we ask you to heal, to mend, to protect, provide for those in need, dear Lord. Lord, we pray for those that aren't here this morning, Lord, for whatever reason, aren't able to be with us. Lord, whether they're sick and shut in, dear Lord, we pray for the nursing homes, the assisted living facilities, dear Lord, and each and every one that's in the hospitals, dear Lord, we just touch you now. Lord, for those that are watching on our feed, dear Lord, we ask you to bless them and their homes. Lord, let your spirit flow, dear Lord. Let your spirit flow. Lord, we just want to worship you and we thank you, dear Lord. You know the needs of each and every situation, dear Lord, and we completely give it to you. We surrender all to you, my Lord. Lord, we thank you again for this service, Lord. We thank you for your word, dear Lord. As your word is open this morning and read, Lord, may it just pierce our hearts. Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them. Each and every ministry that comes forth from this congregation, dear Lord, we ask you to continue to bless if you always have. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. While you're standing, turn to a familiar song that we do, page 306, The Old Gospel Ship. You got some good news to tell somebody? That's right. Let's talk about that. Think about it.
And go sailing through the air.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. Sound like y'all ready for church this morning. Amen, amen. I love the Lord woke us up and gave us another opportunity to gather together in His house. Praise God. Now, we got a couple of announcements real quick before I ask them to come up and we'll take up the morning offering. Got this one. I'm going to be reading it with you as we go through. Is anyone who wants to be in the Christmas program, please come up front this morning for a short meeting. We're just going to meet you up here on the right. They'll leave the mic on for you so Miss Jennifer can have it so she talks to you about the Christmas time. Can you praise God. I know we've been talking about the boxes and all that. I think November is just a couple of days away. Praise God. Also, if any of you have any new or used envelopes for Christmas cards, please bring them in. And the next two Sundays, Miss Jennifer, any color, she said. Praise God. Also, as the deadlines draw close on the Operation Christmas Child, I want to mention that, the shoe boxes. Any of y'all that know anything about it, please, it's a wonderful ministry. It's Operation Christmas Children. It's called the Op, and it's the shoe boxes we do each and every year. Miss Elaine's got the shoe boxes. We've got the new plastic ones, locking lids that we use. You want to get one, but also they'll be filling them here. So if you want to bring something, she's got a list for you, kind of an idea of what we need. There are different age groups for the children. We do it. Also, our deadline is November 16th. Time to pack them and do all the things. We're going to get them ready, and then we'll pray over them and get them sent off. Also, if you'd like to help with postage, $10 this year. Box. Put it in with your offering. Just put it in one of the envelopes and mark it, and they'll separate it for us to help with it. Yes, Miss Linda. No, it's okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. We love our ladies for church. Praise God. We're going to go ahead. Any other announcements I need to do? We'll go ahead and take up the morning offering then. Thomas, would you? Yes, Lord. Amen.
it was requested that I sing this song this morning. And I just want to say I am thankful for my church. But I want to give honor to our sound people, because Brother Tom spent all entire day yesterday working with me trying to get my iPad to work on a system. And I just, they opened their home for Chris and I to come, and Mama Linda fed us breakfast that was delicious, and we just had a great day, even though we were about to get frustrated, and I said, Lord, help us. And it was just a matter of minutes. He figured it out, and we were able to do quite a bit of my song. So I'm going to try and sing the Alabaster Box this morning.
Still, as she made her way to Jesus, she stumbles through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger. Her folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard, as she poured her love for the Master from her box of alabaster. And I've come to pour my praise on him like all the Mary's alabaster box.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of my own in my alabaster box.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prison to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day Jesus came to me, it filled my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. I've come to pour my praise on him like Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You were there the night he found me. Cross,
the devil may try and come and hinder, but he don't even know the cost of my oil in my alabaster box. Amen.
Wait. I said, by and by, praise the Lord. When that by and by day comes, I'm going to say goodbye to this world. Amen, and hello to the Lord, the world that the Lord has prepared. Amen. How many is glad to know that the Lord is going to win and prepared you a place? Amen. Glorious place. Do you love Jesus this morning? Come on, just give him a love, praise. Hallelujah. The longer I'm here on this earth, the more I realize that it is all because of Jesus. All because of his love, his grace, his abundant mercy. Amen. And I've also learned, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I pray this morning that God will have his will in my life, that I won't even make a decision. I won't even take another step unless it's the will of the Lord. Amen. Because I've learned. It's not my will that's important. It's his will. Hallelujah. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy That's your desire, sing it with me this morning. It's a very simple chorus. Have thine own way, Lord.
Yes.
Have thine own way.
Thou art the potter.
Thou art the potter.
I'm just the clay.
I am the clay. Go with me this morning to the book of Psalms, the 31st Psalm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Feel the presence of the Lord this morning. How blessed we are. Amen. To know that God is in our presence. In the 31st Psalm, Psalm of David, I want to begin with verse number 9 this morning, and I do desire your prayers. God will have his will and way. In verse 9 of the 31st chapter, David writes, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel." And we pray, Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your anointing, for your presence, for your spirit. God, for your strength, your love, your grace. For those who've gathered here this morning, God, and I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel to speak to us this morning. God, I pray, Lord, if there's a need in this house this morning, we know that you are the supplier. We know that you are the healer. And best of all, we know that you are our Redeemer. Father, I pray that each and every one of us is here today under the sound of my voice, is ready to meet you should you come or call. If not, let this be the day, God, that we accept you into our life and into our spirit. Ask for guidance now, Lord. I ask for your mercy and for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning I want to spend a little time on a message entitled A Broken Vessel. A Broken Vessel. You know, the enemy would have us to believe that if we're broken, and in fact we are a vessel, that we are useless and of no account. But thank God that God looks at us differently than even our neighbors or our acquaintances, and especially as the adversary. The adversary sees the worst in us. God sees the best. The adversary would have us to give up and quit and fall by the wayside. The hand of mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will lift us up and pick us up even when we fall down, and even pick up the pieces and put them back together when our life seems to be broken. David writes this in a time of desperation, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning if you've ever been in any despair. One thing that I have learned, that life is full of desperation and despair. Many are the afflictions. I don't believe all of those are physical. Many of those are spiritual afflictions that we must endure. How many knows greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world? But David was consumed with this feeling of inadequacy, failure, not living up to what God expected out of him. And I would dare say that many of us have faced this same scenario. Many times we feel we're so inadequate. God, how could you even love me? Lord, how could you even see fit to pick me up and dust me off? The many times that I've failed, the many situations that have happened in my life, and you know, thank God that we don't need to dwell in that situation. And that was the fact with David. Thank God that he was able to be renewed. But in this particular time, he feels like he's all alone. The first thing that he says in verse number 1 through verse number 5, he asks for mercy as he describes his situation. David prays to the Lord, deliver me, lead me, guide me, redeem me. 2, 4, 6, 8 words. Lord, if I could pray that prayer every time I come before your presence. Not go into a long spiel, not go into description of everything that's going on in my life, because I can't tell God anything that he doesn't already know. And if I try to hide it, he still knows it. Man, God sees our hearts, not only listens to our prayers and our words. But if we could learn to pray, deliver me, lead me, guide me, redeem me. Even though we have been redeemed, even though the Spirit of the Lord dwells within us, we still are housed in a body of flesh. And that body of flesh is our biggest tormentor so many times, our biggest enemy. We blame Satan, and rightfully so, but what does Satan use? He uses our flesh to come against us. So David, after he prays, then he asks for mercy and he describes his situation. And we often say that God doesn't need a description, but we're human. We want him to understand everything that is going awry in our life. So David begins with, I'm in trouble. I don't know if when growing up, if you were a kid and you ever had to go face your parents and you'd said, I'm in trouble. And I know now, I didn't know it then, but I know it now as a parent, that a parent, oh Lord, they think the very worst. Oh, and the first thing I know, oh my God, what have you done? When a child comes and says, I'm in trouble, we're imagining all kind of things. And maybe it's just a situation at school. Maybe it's a situation with one of the courses that they're taking. I remember I didn't score real, real well on something, and I knew it was going to be a shock to Mom and Dad when the report cards come out, so I tried to lay some groundwork. And I went to him, and I blamed it on the teacher. I said, that teacher just cannot teach. Everybody in the class had a lower grade. And it's not because of our fault. Mother, we listen and we try, but that teacher just can't teach. I was trying to lay the groundwork. But I knew I was in trouble. And I knew that Mom loved me, but I knew that, there was some punishment on the way if my grade wasn't up to what she thought it would be. So if we go to God and we say, Lord, I'm in trouble, He already knows the trouble that we're in. And trouble comes in many forms, in many degrees. And I kind of think that this one was serious with David. Because this is somebody who was God-fearing. I was reading this past week of some of the exploits of David when he became king and when his army came. I mean, they were God's blessing and his anointing was upon David. And if you remember, David was a king, amen, of battle after battle after battle. It started as a little boy as he fought the giant. But later on, he's had that same experience, amen, as being a leader. And he seemingly was in one battle after another. But God blessed him and anointed him. And through David's belief and faith in God made him victorious over superb enemies, over enemies that outnumbered him, and the many things that they'd done. I was reading one where they went in and captured all of these chariots of the enemy, and they even took the horses, and they hamstruck the horses except the 100 that they needed for the chariots. God blessed him again and again and again. And now, instead of banking on all of those blessings and all of the things that God had done for him and the many doors that he had opened him and the many battles that he had won for him, he finds himself in a situation of trouble, and he's wondering if even the Lord has left him. Hopefully we hadn't gotten to that point yet. But in conversations I have heard people say, I don't even know if the Lord is with me. That's exactly what Satan wants you to feel. He wants to destroy you. So David says, I'm in trouble. And my life is full of grief. You know what? I've got to disagree with David's statement there. The moment in which he was sharing this might have been full of grief. But you got to remember the things that God blessed David up to this point. His life wasn't full of grief. His life had grief in it, but it wasn't full of grief. It is so amazing to me that after all of the blessings, all of the times that God's hand has been upon us, the many times that He's lifted us up, all of a sudden when trouble comes our way and we're steeped in sorrow and grief, it's my life is full of grief. No, your life has experienced some grief, but that same God that has blessed you time and time and time again is just a prayer away. Man. But David, in order to adequately describe his situation, says, my life is full of grief. Maybe at this point in time, he was actually stating the facts. At this particular time, all he could understand was grief. Grief when he got up, grief when he went to bed, grief and sorrow. Then he said, my strength is failing. Strength is failing. Ever been to a point where you feel like you just can't go on? Your strength is failing. Not only your physical strength, but your spiritual strength. Your desire to do anything just kind of leaves you. You don't want to do nothing. You know, in times like that, you don't even want to answer the phone. I ain't answering. I don't feel like talking to anybody. Isn't it amazing how we can get ourselves so steeped in the situation that we're living in that we can't even see any ray of hope or glory? That's when we take our eyes off of God and we put it on our situation. We look at the problem instead of the problem solver. David said, my strength is failing. And then he gets to the root of the problem. He's tormented in his guilt. He said, because of mine iniquity, because of my sin, because of my failure, because of my lack of faith, because I took my eyes off of you and put it on my situation, and he felt the guilt, and he finally admitted that to God. God, it was because of my guilt. How many are thankful with me that God doesn't just throw us away because of our guilt, because of our shame, because of our sin, He sent Jesus Christ. That's the reason Jesus came to this earth, to redeem us from our sin, redeem us from our past. And then he said, like so many of us when we're facing problems, I feel all alone. And we're really not. You know what happens when we get in that situation? People are afraid to speak to us. You know, whether you realize it or not, you got some discernment. Some of you got more discernment than you realize. You'll approach somebody and all of a sudden you see the expression on their face, you sort of back off. Well, I don't know what's going on with them, but I'm not going to ask them. They might just tell me. You husbands, you kind of know. You walk in the house and there's a certain facial expression. Go back out in the yard and rake leaves or go down to the shop or do something. There's other times you can joke around with them, but when that expression is there, you've got some discernment. This is not a good time. Back off. Or you should. Or you should. But I feel like I'm all alone. Feel like no one cares. No one bothers to understand what I'm going through. In fact, nobody didn't even ask what I was going through. Well, no wonder you're standing there like this. They already know you're not in a good mood. They already know things are not going really well in your life. Amen. David was experiencing all of these things. And he said then, he says, I feel like I'm forgotten as though I was dead. As though I was in the grave. And you know, we don't forget the deceased. But after a time we realize that we must go on our way of life. And David was feeling like, you know what, they've just forgotten me. They don't care anything about me. It's just like I was dead and buried. And then he makes a remark that sums this whole sermon up. It's kind of where the rubber meets the road. It's kind of the meat of the matter. And he says, I'm like a broken vessel. Like a broken vessel. You know, there's a lot of attention. There's a lot of things in the Bible that talks about pottery and vessels and clay and jars and different things like that. Even the potter's house, he told the prophet to go down. And the pottery that he was making was marred. It was not in perfect condition. And he watched the potter, instead of casting it aside and throwing it away, he simply mashed it down and made it new, made it perfect in the eyes of the master. The Bible talks so much about that. But that lets me know that the Master, which is symbolic of God, is our Master, looks at us very differently than humanity does. I would imagine some of David's closest friends said he's lost it. He's backslidden. He's not what he used to be. I never thought I'd see him falter or fall or fail. Some of his closest people, maybe those around him, looked at his countenance and his countenance was down. But see, God looks at us different. Come on, God loves us in spite of our faults, in spite of our failures. And he doesn't cast us aside. He doesn't throw us away somewhere and call us useless. And I'm not going to can't use you anymore. I can't bless you anymore because you're marred, because you're cracked, because you're broken. But he gently takes us and pay special attention to us. And he makes us anew. Not like the world does. I was thinking, Brother Chris, of some of the athletes. How they'll stand and cheer some of these great athletes until they get longer in their career. And they're not as fast. They're not as agile. They're not as productive as they once was. And they're ready to just cast them aside. Throw them away. Not worth anything anymore. In fact, we have read stories and biographies of many athletes that feel discarded. Some have even spent and lost all of their money they made during their time and find themselves homeless and without any money. Kind of feeling like David was. Once the cheers and the crowd loved him, but now they were of no use anymore. And whether you realize it or not, that's exactly where Satan wants you right now. He wants to beat you up, let you know that you're not any good, that you're worthless, nobody cares about you, church don't love you, pastor don't care about you, and all that kind of stuff, all that kind of rot that comes out of the pits of hell that the Satan uses against people each and every day of their life. But I want to share something with you this morning, that God tends to look at us very differently. Even though we may be marred, or even though we may have a fault in our life. And before that we look and try to point out the faults in other people's lives, let us look in a spiritual mirror and see the things that are in our life. David said, I'm in trouble, full of grief, strength is failing, tormented with guilt, I feel like I'm all alone, forgotten as though I was dead, I feel like I'm a broken vessel. So humanity would say, well, he's worthless. In fact, worthless basically means worthless, of no use anymore, cast it aside. This is an old coffee cup. There's been some good coffee come out of that cup. Many a morning have I put coffee in that cup and just, Brother David, it just kind of changes my whole attitude. After my first cup of coffee, a smile will come across my face. And I'll tell Penny, you're allowed to speak to me now, sweetheart. And I don't know about you, but you get accustomed, you get used to certain coffee cups, or I do. There's all kind of new coffee cups in our cupboard, and there's some fancy coffee cups. There's some that was made especially. It's got Papa written on it, and I like all them. But sometimes I just like to reach it, get Old Faithful. Because there's something soothing about an old cup full of coffee. And, you know, I'm like my mother. It's got to be hot. If it's lukewarm, I'll spew it out of my mouth. Just like the Bible says. I don't like warm coffee. I like it hot. Sometimes I'll get it out of the pot and I'll stick it in the microwave and warm it about 25 more seconds. And then I'll just... But I want you to look closely. There's a little crack, just a hairline crack. Can you see it? See that crack? Sister Lisa, can you see that crack from way back there? You got good eyes. Just a little hairline crack. Not big. But my judgment tells me one of these days I'm going to fill that with hot coffee, stick it in the microwave for 25 seconds, and it's going to explode or break apart. Because of that little hairline crack, which started out very small, but now it's almost reached all the way to the bottom. Just, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to break another cup in. I'll find me another favorite cup, I guess. Or maybe this one could be repaired. Brother Eddie, it's old. It ain't worth the trouble. It's even got chips on the bottom. Throw it away. Makes sense, don't it? But I'm not a potter and I'm not a master. But symbolically, I want you to look, and maybe in your life there may be a little crack, just a little hairline that's giving you some issues, and you think that it's growing, and the devil's telling you, hey, you're worthless. You're worthless. Your ministry's not any good anymore. Your talent's not any good anymore. Nobody cares what you do, what you think. You're old. It's time for you to be put out to pasture. But then we realize what David did. He said in verse number 14, but I trusted in the Lord. I'm worthless. I'm cracking up. I don't have the strength that I used to. I'm not. I don't have the zeal that I used to. And people avoid me. But he said, but I trusted in the Lord. I took my complaint to Jesus. I came before him and said, God, I'm unfixable. And God looked at me and said, you're not unfixable. I want you to understand this morning, you're not to the point where you're unfixable. I can't fix you. Husband can't fix you. Wife can't fix you. But I can point you to Jesus Christ, who will not only fix you, but make you as you were brand new. Hallelujah. I'm going to lay this mic down, and I'm going to try to perform something on this cup. But I'm broken, but not anymore. I don't see the crack anymore. Yeah. I know it was there. I know it was there. But nobody can see it anymore. Because in the hands of God, He can take the crack and He can make it brand new. Brand new. I don't know how many more years I'll have out of that coffee cup, but I may just go home and enjoy a cup of coffee now, because you know what? I once was broken, but now I'm whole. Hallelujah. I once was worthless, but not in the eyes of Jesus Christ. He took me up. He molded me. He made me brand new. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You're not worthless. You're not broken. You're not a cast aside. Even in the eyes of humanity, you're still loved by God. He loves you. He formed you. He fashioned you. And He can make you brand new. Again, if you think the Lord can do that, give Him praise. This morning, a broken vessel feels useless, feels unwanted, feels rejected, feels abandoned. And I would have you to know this morning that all of that comes from Satan. He agrees with you. Say, yeah, you are worthless. Yep, you've been abandoned. You're rejected. Not only by your friends, but by your Savior. And you're unwanted. Those are lies from Satan. God won't turn His back on you. Amen. But David said, I trusted in the Lord. I'm going to share a phrase with you this morning. And I looked this up and I was unaware of it, but it intrigued me. Now, I hope I'm making the pronunciation right. Kintsugi. Say that with me. Kintsugi. I didn't know y'all could speak Japanese. Y'all just had a lesson in Asian language. Kintsugi. Turn to your neighbor and say, Kintsugi. Say it again. All right. I know how humanity is. I know how people are. They won't remember the scripture, but they'll be going, Kintsugi. A pastor told me, Kintsugi. What are you speaking in tongues for? No, it's Japanese. And it is the art of repairing broken pottery. Hallelujah. Brother Don, don't you think it just make more sense just to go get a new one? Throw those pieces away. I'm not talking about little cracks now. I'm talking about broken. See, some of us could identify with the crack and we want to get it fixed. But maybe you're here and you feel like the crack's done turned into broken pieces in your life. You ever dropped something and then tried to pick it up and try to put it back like it was? Find a piece missing. Where in the world is that? Don't fit right. Maybe you're at that point in your spiritual walk with God. But Kintsugi tells me that there is an art of taking every broken piece and putting it back together. Not just an ordinary way, but to make it stronger, more beautiful, and more precious, and more valuable
than it was in its earlier piece, amen, in its earlier form. Wait a minute. You can take something that's broken in so many pieces and put it back together and it's of more value? That's what Kintsugi says. Because when they put the pieces back together, they take a mixture, I love this, of golden, actual gold, 14-karat gold powder, and they mix it with a special epoxy, and they put it back together. And here's the thing. When they get it finished, the thing is stronger than it was, more valuable, really more valuable than it was, but you still see where it was put back together. Glory to God. To remind you, to remind me that once I was broken in a million pieces, but God took his hand and he picked up every piece and he put it back together and he molded it and made it with gold and a sticky glue that lets me know I'm not falling apart again. My faith is not in me. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Somebody say glory. If you can realize what God has done in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a chance. Look it up. See those beautiful pieces of pottery that were once useless, that were once unwanted, that were once rejected, and once abandoned. David, they're beautiful. Even the cracks that are now filled with gold, it's beautiful as a testimony of what God done in my life. You see, my spiritual life is full of those mended cracks. Oh, yeah. Maybe you don't have to have any, but I did. God had to pick up the pieces of my life. They weren't making sense. It wasn't giving me true peace. I couldn't sleep good at night. Worried about my future, worried about situations. I lost my place. I'm just a little emotional. You remember? All those pieces up. Spiritually, and you took them to the Lord. Oh, it was a mess. Never be the same. My life is torn apart. I feel so hopeless, so unwanted, so abandoned, so rejected. And he said, Lord, if you can, and you're not even asking if you get me back to where I once was. Can you just sort of patch me up? Hallelujah. And he holds out his spiritual hands and he takes every little piece, even the little shivers. You know what I'm talking about? When something breaks, you get all the big pieces first. Sometimes the little shivers are there. He puts every one of them back in place. And he redeems you. He gives you greater value than you've ever had in your life. He fixes you. He mends you. He makes you stronger. He makes you more beautiful. He makes you more precious. And he makes you stronger than you've ever been in your life. If you're thankful for what God has done in your life, put your hands together for the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord.
He'll pick up the broken pieces. He will fix the crack that's in your life. He won't throw you away, and He won't discard you. Even though friends, loved ones, society itself may turn their back on you, God will never do that. As the music comes, would you stand? Would you reverence the Holy Spirit that's in this place this morning? Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. You feel like you're at a point where nobody cares, that you're worthless, rejected, can't go on. Pick up the pieces and bring them to Jesus. I will assure you, He'll put every piece back together, stronger, more beautiful, and more precious than it was in the very beginning. Whatever you feel like singing, Sister Jennifer. Every saint of God praying, this is your time to be redeemed. This is your time to rededicate. This is your time to place your situation in the hands of a never-failing God. Is there one this morning?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Not going to take long. You know how you stand with God. You know if everything is right. But as a pastor, as a minister, my prayer is that everyone here in this house is saved and ready to go to heaven. If not, this is a good place to rededicate your life. This is a good place to get stronger. Let us pray.
After thy will, while I am waiting, you did and still. Please.
testing, one, two.
I just want to tell you that I went back to the doctor, to the pulmonary doctor. I don't have to have the oxygen no more.
Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. God fixed the oxygen in her body. Amen. And what God did for her, He'll do for you, because He's no respecter of person. Don't get me started again. God is great.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Lord, you're so worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, church. Need more candy? Need more cakes?
No, need no more candy.
Oh, we need more candy. We need more candy. Always more cakes, too. Cakes, cupcakes, cookies, anything sweet. We need more candy.
What do you mean? I'm innocent. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We love each and every one of you. God bless you. We just want the Lord just to continue. Oh, isn't it just wonderful that we can share all that we have with each other and with the Lord and just let Him continue to bless us. He has blessed His church so much and our church family. We love y'all. Thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for those that are in need in each and every situation. But we know God's got it. Oh, yes. Don't forget. The ones that are in the Christmas play, come on up and Sister Linda wants to meet with the ladies about the Ida Bell Christmas tea, holiday tea. Praise God. The busy season. Love each and every one of you. We're going to be dismissed with this prayer. If anyone needs prayer still, please come on up or just let us know. Praise God. For you watching online, we appreciate you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love and praise you. Dear Lord, thank you again, dear Lord, for your message, your word. Lord, how great thou art. Dear Lord, we just love you. Lord, now as we prepare to part, dear Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Lord, bring us back at our appointed time. And for each of these ministries that's meeting now, dear Lord, we ask for your blessings to be upon them, dear Lord, for all the festivities and all as we go forth. And we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. We're going to need a mic for Miss Jennifer.